take lesson 34, which is on extreme unction and holy orders. And because both of these sacraments and an understanding of them is so important, we decided to break up this lesson into two sections and just simply today discuss extreme unction, and next month after Christmas to continue lesson 34 with the section on holy orders. So what is extreme unction? Extreme unction is the sacrament which, through the anointing with blessed oil by the priest and through his prayers, gives health and strength to the soul, and sometimes to the body, when we are in danger of death from sickness, accident, or old age. Extreme unction is a very important sacrament because it has been provided by our Lord to prepare us for the most important moment of life. The most important moment of our entire lives is the moment of our death, upon which will be decided our eternity, either with God or separated from Him forever. And this is why extreme unction is so very important. We should understand extreme unction and never have a fear of the sacrament of extreme unction. It really is strange, but some people seem to have this, a sort of fear of the sacrament, because they think, well, if anybody says to me, you need to be anointed, that means I'm going to die. Well, we're either going to die or we're not going to die at that moment. And just the opposite, extreme unction very often brings health to the body when it is good for the soul. So we must have a proper understanding and appreciation of this sacrament and know what is necessary to be able to receive it, when it can be received, and how to prepare for it. The sacrament is called extreme and unction. It is called unction because it is given with an anointing or an unction with oil by the priest. It is called extreme, meaning last, because it is given toward the end of one's life, and also because it is the last of the various anointings that a Christian receives. When we were baptized, we were anointed. When you were confirmed, you were anointed. A priest is anointed in the sacrament of holy orders. Extreme unction is the last anointing that the Christian receives in his life. We know that Christ instituted this sacrament. We do not know exactly when he instituted the sacrament, but in the Epistle of St. James, one of the 12 apostles called St. James the Less, who was the first bishop of Jerusalem, mentions this sacrament. He said, if someone is ill, someone is sick, let them call in the priest to anoint him. So he mentions that this practice existed in the very early Christian communities. For extreme unction, olive oil is used, which has been specially blessed by the bishop for this sacrament. It is called in Latin oleum infirmorum, which means oil of the sick. And that is oil blessed on Holy Thursday, which is the matter of the sacrament of extreme unction. What parts of the body are anointed in this sacrament? Ordinarily, six parts of the body are anointed in extreme unction: the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the lips, the hands, and the feet. And these six anointings signify the five senses: the eyes, the sense of sight, the ears, of course, hearing, our nostrils, the sense of smell, our lips, the sense of taste and the ability to speak, and our hands and feet both indicate the sense of touch. And, of course, it is through these senses very often that we offend God, that we commit sin. And so these senses are anointed. Now, in case of necessity, one anointing will suffice for the sacrament on any part of the body, preferably on the forehead. What does the priest say in making these anointings? In making the anointings, the priest says, through this holy anointing and his most tender mercy, may the Lord pardon thee whatever faults thou hast committed through sight, hearing, touch, whatever it is. Amen. Those are the words that are used by the priest when he anoints the various parts of the body. Who should receive extreme unction? All Catholics who have reached the use of reason and are in danger of death from sickness, accident, or old age should receive extreme unction. It is not necessary for a person to be at death's door to receive the sacrament of extreme unction. It suffices that there be a probable danger of death, not necessarily a proximate danger of death, where the person is just about ready to breathe his last. As long as there is a real, definite danger of death. And that can even be from old age. I remember once on mission, I anointed a person who was just not feeling well. And this person was in her 80s. And quite obvious to me, from going there on mission for several years, had been failing the last couple missions. And so I said, well, how would you like to be anointed? And so we anointed this person, and she died a couple months later. And of course, no one was there. There wasn't a priest there on a regular basis. The person was in danger of death from old age. No specific illness, but danger of death from old age. And it's very important that Catholics have, you might say, be prepared for the sacrament of extreme unction so that when it comes time, the person isn't worried or nervous about it. I remember another incident on mission where there was a man who had cancer. And unfortunately, his doctor convinced him, you can pull through, your vital signs are good. He was failing, but he was a military man. Maybe that's a problem. You can make it. You can pull through. And I tried to. I did everything I could to convince this man. You need to be anointed. It doesn't hurt. You have a condition that justifies being anointed, and there's no reason why not. It's a sacrament. You should receive it. And maybe you will pull through. But you can. You should be anointed anyway. And he was convinced, I'll be able to pull through this. I've done it before, etc., etc. And he refused to be anointed. He was a good man, very good Catholic. He refused to be anointed, and he died a month or so later. And just would not be anointed. And so it really is important for us to, you might say, dispose ourselves mentally to want to receive the sacrament when that time comes. So danger of death from sickness, accident, or old age. Now, there has to be a situation, an illness, or a physical state of debility that endangers life. So if a person is going to go into battle, and it's a particular situation in which most likely this person would be killed, still he could not be anointed. Example that's often given that's similar, if a person is going to be electrocuted or put to death by the government for crimes, he's sentenced to death, still he could not be anointed right before he sits down in the electric chair. He could not be anointed because he is not currently in danger of death from some physical reason. So, danger of death must result from sickness, accident, or old age. And the book on purgatory makes special mention of the fact that we should not delay until the very last moment, the very last opportunity to receive the sacrament. And I would like to read the section in the book on purgatory relative to extreme unction. The sacraments are for the faithful an immense assistance and inestimable benefit. It is not therefore surprising that the enemy of souls makes it his first object to deprive them of so great a good. Not being able to rob the church of her sacraments, he endeavors to keep them from the sick, either by making them entirely neglect to receive them, or that they receive them so late as to lose all benefit. Alas, how many souls allow themselves to be taken in this snare! How many souls, for not promptly receiving the sacraments, fall into hell or into the deepest abyss of purgatory. To avoid this misfortune, the very first care of a Christian in case of sickness must be to think of the sacraments and to receive them as promptly as possible. We say that he should receive them promptly whilst he is still in possession of the use of his faculties, and we dwell upon this circumstance for the following reasons. Number one, in receiving the sacraments promptly, the patient, having yet sufficient strength to prepare himself properly, derives all the fruit of them. Second, he needs to be provided as soon as possible with the divine assistance in order to support his sufferings, to overcome temptation, and to sanctify the precious time of sickness. Third, it is only by receiving the holy oils in time that we can experience the effect of a bodily cure. That one effect of the sacrament, health of the body when it is good for the soul, does not work in the sense of a miracle. It works in the sense that the sacrament assists the normal, natural abilities of the body, strengthens the natural defenses, you might say, of the body to bring about health. But it does not work in the sense of a miracle. So if a person is at death's door and is anointed, he's not going to receive health of body. If a person is beginning to die and receives this sacrament, he may receive health of the body. We must here remark an important point. The sacramental remedy of the holy unction produces its effects upon the sick person in the same manner as medical remedies. It resembles an exquisite medicine that assists nature, in which there is still supposed to be a certain vigor. so that extreme unction cannot exercise a medicinal virtue when nature has become too feeble and life is almost extinguished. Thus, a great number of sick persons die because they put off receiving the sacraments until they are at the last extremity, whilst it is not unusual to see those entirely recover who hasten to receive them. So, it is very important to keep this in mind, to receive the last sacraments, as we call them, which would consist of confession, Holy Communion as viaticum, and extreme unction, to receive them as soon as possible. The first concern, again, of someone sick should be to call the priest and not to hesitate in that regard. Now, what are the effects of the sacrament of extreme unction? The effects of this sacrament are, first, an increase of sanctifying grace, as all the sacraments give. Second, comfort in sickness and strength against temptation. When a person especially is dying and the devil is assaulting this person, making one last effort, this sacrament strengthens spiritually the person, gives the person comfort in time of sickness and strength against the temptations of the devil. Third, preparation for entrance into heaven by the remission of our venial sins and the cleansing of our souls from the remains of sin. Fourth, health of the body when it is good for the soul. So very important. We know that the devil, when a person is dying, makes one last great effort to destroy this soul, to cause the person to give up, to despair, so that the devil can drag that soul down to hell. It's his last chance. And he throws everything he can. And so a person, when he is dying, needs the sacraments of the church even more so than another person would. And especially to sanctify that suffering. You know, Almighty God in His goodness, loving us as He does, very often gives illness, a protracted illness before one's death, in order to eliminate, if possible, or very much diminish, the time we would otherwise have to spend in purgatory. If there were not deathbed illnesses preceding death, how many people would have to spend years, perhaps hundreds of years in purgatory, which can very easily be removed by suffering, offering up the suffering in the proper way. So why not receive this sacrament at the beginning of a mortal illness to dispose one to bear that illness properly and make up for our purgatory in this world? This world, remember, is a time of mercy, when a very short time of suffering offered up in the right attitude can satisfy for years and years and years of suffering in purgatory, which is far more intense. Almighty God in His mercy does that for us, accepts that suffering. When does extreme unction take away mortal sin? Extreme unction would take away mortal sin when the sick person is unconscious or otherwise unaware that he is not properly disposed, but has made an act of imperfect contrition beforehand. And it's always important that we have the frame of mind, the intention to live and die as a Catholic, because we must have the intention to receive the sacrament, and the habitual intention to live and die as a Catholic is the same as having the intention for this sacrament in the case of one who would be unconscious. Must there be certainty that a person is dying before he can be given extreme unction? There need not be certainty that a person is dying before he can be given extreme unction. It suffices that there be only a probable danger of death. Now, how should the sick room be arranged when a priest is going to come to administer the sacraments to your home? There should be a table, a sufficiently large table, something that's not real small, a table that is covered with a clean white cloth. There should be in the middle of the table a crucifix, two candlesticks with beeswax candles lighted, blessed candles. Every home should have a pair of beeswax candles. You can get on the Feast of the Purification each year to order them. There should also be a glass with water in it and a spoon. There should be holy water, a holy water bottle. A saucer with a few balls of cotton. Usually the priest will bring cotton for the holy oils, but it's good to have some there. And after it is used, the cotton has to be burned. Sometimes the priest will leave it there and say to burn it. Sometimes he may take it with him. There should be a cloth, a little towel or napkin, and a saucer with little pieces of bread and lemon for the priest to purify his fingers of the oils. That is when there is extreme unction administered. How should we prepare ourselves to receive extreme unction? We should prepare ourselves to receive extreme unction by a good confession, by acts of faith, hope, charity, and especially resignation to the will of God. That's a very important disposition to have. The acts of faith, hope, and charity we should make before receiving really any of the sacraments, especially communion, extreme unction. But in addition, in preparation for extreme unction, we should make an act of resignation to the will of God. That is so pleasing to Almighty God. Pope Pius X wrote an act of resignation, resigning oneself to one's death, to which he attached a plenary indulgence at the moment of death. That if you read this act of resignation, at the moment of your death, you receive a plenary indulgence. Not right now, but at the moment of your death, for making that act of resignation. So pleasing is it to Almighty God to find in us that disposition, I accept, dear Lord, my death, whatever kind it may be, and whenever it comes. We should make that act of resignation often. And again, it's very pleasing to God and a very important disposition at the time of receiving the sacrament. When is it advisable to call the priest to visit the sick? It is advisable to call the priest to visit the sick in any serious illness, even though there be no apparent danger of death, as it is the duty of the priest to visit the sick and administer to them the sacraments that they need. And again, for someone who can't receive Holy Communion, if you can't receive communion for a week's time, you can't go to Sunday Mass due to illness, then a priest should be called. In case of sudden or unexpected death, should a priest be called? In case of sudden or unexpected death, a priest should be called always, because absolution and extreme unction can be given conditionally for some time after apparent death. Death, we know, is when the soul leaves the body. And there is a difference between apparent death, or there can be and very often is, between apparent death and real death. A difference between the time when a person seems to be dead to us and when, in fact, he is dead. So a priest can always be called and can administer the sacrament conditionally after apparent death. Now, one last thing I would like to read on extreme unction, the obligation, the duty of those who assist a person who is in illness to call a priest and to tell the person who is ill. Whoever, either by reason of his office or of piety, has the spiritual care of one who is ill, has the grave obligation to tell him when he is seriously ill, and thus make it possible for him to be anointed. So those who convince a sick person that who is seriously ill that, well, you're really not that bad off, you will pull through, everything's all right, is sinful. Sinful. Especially if a person is dying, not to acquaint that person, yes, as carefully as possible, but not to acquaint that person with his real condition that he might prepare. Supposing a soul is lost for all eternity because someone didn't tell that person that he, in fact, was dying. How would that person feel if he were aware of that? And what would he have to answer to Almighty God one day? So that would be a false charity. That would not be true charity. And certainly it has to be done carefully, but it has to be done. So let us appreciate this sacrament. And very often with this sacrament, more than any other, Catholics have a funny attitude towards it, because I suppose they have this idea, it'll never happen to me, or many, many years from now. Well, even though it may be many years from now, we should, in a sense, look forward to that sacrament. We should understand it, appreciate it, and realize what God has planned for us. You might say, what he has in store for us in our dying moments, what he has instituted for our spiritual benefit. The love of Almighty God in providing the sacraments we need at every stage in our life. Let us appreciate them. Let us have the mental disposition, even right now, to want to receive that sacrament when the time comes. And dispose ourselves, above all, by a good Catholic life for that all-important moment of death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.